Well, Kevin Brown is with the Armed Forces
Baptist Missions,
and I'm looking forward to him sharing tonight. But why don't you come introduce yourself, and we'll watch your video shortly after that.
Amen. Well, good evening. It's a delight for Michelle and I to be here. This is home for her, almost. Michelle grew up not too far from here in Dalton. And we're back in the area to visit with her mom, who has some health needs. And thankful for the opportunity to be here with you folks. I was talking to your pastor just recently, because we were going to be in the area. And he was mentioning to me that my son, my oldest son, who is also a missionary in Cambodia, was here many years ago. And so I spoke with him about that. He has great memories of being up here and appreciates as well. The light shines when people come together. They open God's word. They obey God's word. And so I'm grateful that the light is shining here in North Adams and that we get to be here with you. As pastor, the middle pastor, Malachek, is that how I describe you?
No, we're co-pastors.
Okay, very good.
We're
very good.
We go by Pastors Malachek.
Pastors Malachek. Well, we are Kevin and Michelle Brown, and God has called us to serve with Armed Forces Baptist Missions. You'll learn in my video that I've been around the military for a long time, actually with the last few months that we've been serving now as missionaries, and I've been serving as the general director at Armed Forces Baptist Missions over 40 years. And I believe God used that to help prepare us for what he has for us now, trying to reach our military with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for those who are saved, to provide them an opportunity to grow in their knowledge of the Lord and to be able to follow and serve him wherever they are in the world. And so we have missionaries here in the United States. We've got missionaries in different countries overseas, outside bases, trying to do just that. You know, most folks can recognize the military people. You tell by the uniform that they wear. If you hang around and talk with them, maybe you don't quite understand what they're saying sometimes. But you know that who they are sometimes by that. Their culture, a unique one. Their experiences, a unique one. But they all have the same need. They have the same need for Jesus Christ. What sometimes people don't know is some of the struggles that they deal with that sometimes are unique to the calling that they have answered in their lives. Things like the fact that the Army last year had the highest suicide rate in 30 years. The Air Force in 2019 and 2020, the highest in decades. That a veteran in our country will take their life every 65 minutes. So from the time you were here in church last week until tonight, 165 have entered into eternity, very likely without Jesus Christ. And so the need is all around us. 28 million, if you add up the active duty, the National Guard and Reserve, and the veterans, the equivalent of Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island, and we throw in New Jersey and West Virginia just to get to the top. A lot of people, a lot of needs, great needs, but we serve a great God. Amen? Don't we? I'll let you see our video. Do stop by our table after. Take one of our prayer cards. Would you pray for us that God would help us to be effective, that God would use his truth to change lives? And if you've got little ones with you, have them stop by and pick up one of those little toy soldiers and take it home and pray for the military every time they see that. Play the video.
Our nation's armed forces are among the best trained and equipped in the world, and they're ready to respond to our nation's security needs at home and abroad. Imagine serving in a profession where you can be separated from your family for extended periods. And what about when that separation includes sending your loved one to a combat zone? Who does the family turn to for support and help? What kind of challenges might arise when you know that you have to move every few years? What will the schools be like? Who will be there to help you? Imagine moving somewhere new and not finding a Bible preaching church where you can grow and serve. All of these are realities for our men and women in uniform. Headquartered at Good News Baptist Church in Chesapeake, Virginia, Armed Forces Baptist Missions has been working to meet the spiritual needs of those who wear our nation's military uniform. Our missionaries establish local churches near military bases around the world where there is little or no gospel-centered outreach or discipleship efforts that are focused on service members and their families. Under the ministry of local churches, they also establish Christian servicemen centers as another means to reach military members with God's good news. Choosing to remember the more than 25 million military veterans who often carry the physical and emotional wounds of their service, AFBM also provides ministry support in veterans' homes and hospitals. We are Kevin and Michelle Brown, and God has called us to serve with Armed Forces Baptist Missions. As the General Director, I have the privilege of encouraging and supporting the existing AFBM missionary family as they minister in their mission fields. I also identify new military bases where church plants or servicemen centers can help meet great spiritual needs. I have the privilege of sharing the AFBM mission in churches and Bible colleges, asking God to introduce us to those He is calling to join AFBM. I grew up in an unsaved home, but during my sophomore year in college, God brought a former friend back into my life who had been saved and who was a passionate witness for Christ. My friend truly was a new creation. God used His word and my friend's changed life to show me my need for Christ as my personal Savior. Soon thereafter, I joined Army ROTC and was then privileged to serve in the Army for 26 years. And I believe that God used those experiences and several great Bible preaching churches along the way to help prepare me for the ministry plans that He has for me now.
I grew up in a Catholic home. I knew who God was. I believed in Jesus Christ. I even believed that He died on the cross and rose again, but I didn't really understand what that meant. Well, when I went to college, I got involved in a Bible study group. And for the first time in my life, I actually read and studied God's Word for myself. And I finally understood the gospel, and I understand I needed a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and I accepted Him as my personal Savior. While I was in college, I met Kevin, who was also a new believer, and we were both involved in a Christian fellowship group there. Throughout that fellowship group, we learned and grew a lot in our faith. Several years later, we were married, and I had the privilege of being an Army spouse for over 24 years. Our family very much enjoyed traveling, living in different places, but finding a good church was always a priority for us and not always easy. Because of that, Kevin and I understand the importance for military members and their families to have a good Bible-believing gospel witness close to their areas of service.
Our family knows the life-changing impact of active involvement in churches near military bases, especially overseas. We experience the love and commitment of missionary pastors whose compassion for the lost and love for the saints made an eternal difference. The church became our new family, our home away from home. We know God has prepared me for the great privilege of serving as the General Director of AFBM. His investment in our lives during a 26-year Army career opened our eyes to the military lifestyle and its unique challenges.
It's my privilege to recommend to you Brother Kevin Brown, who is our new General Director for Armed Forces Baptist Mission. As an Army officer flying helicopters, his first priority was his relationship with the Lord, his service to God, and then involving his family with that. And so he has been well-equipped, well-trained, and then also God's call on his life to preach the gospel. Would you prayerfully consider supporting the Browns in their efforts of encouraging missionaries and working themselves to reach the military with the gospel of Jesus Christ?
We know that now is the time to give our full effort to reaching military members, and we are committed to doing that. Will you help us? Will you be willing to pray for God to call more young men and women to join the AFBM missionary family? Would you pray that God would show us the military bases where we most need to plant new Bible-preaching churches and servicemen centers? Would you consider joining others who are already supporting the Brown family prayerfully, and financially. Our service members stand ready to sacrifice everything for us. Help us so that we can express our gratitude to them and their families by caring for their souls.
One of the things that I appreciated from the video was the testimonies that you gave, and it spoke to my heart that, and it's important I think for all of us to remember that you can know about Jesus, and we live in an area where a lot of people know about Jesus, but Michelle mentioned that she didn't know him personally. And so if you're here tonight and you know about Jesus, but you don't have a personal relationship with him, if you died today, you don't know for sure that you would go to heaven. That's what this church is all about. That's what this ministry is all about. And then I love the simplicity of the ministry. And sometimes we think that we have to do very complicated things, but you emphasized people coming to know Christ, studying the Bible, and being involved in a church family. And that's awesome. Now, Brother Brown is prepared to bring a Bible study for us, and I think we'll have time for that. But I'd like to get to know a little bit more about the ministry. So we might have a few questions and answers. I know I have one or two questions, and I'll open it up to anybody else who might as well. So what might be some of the experiences that there are some in the room who've been in the military, but I never have been. I have a good friend who's a Navy chaplain, and his explaining what he goes through and counseling has really opened my eyes. What would you say to those of us who might be completely unaware of what the servicemen and women that you deal with that they face?
Sure. I think probably the reality that what you think you're going to be doing tomorrow or a month from now could change dramatically because of a decision, a necessary decision oftentimes that maybe is made in Washington or someplace like that. And you find yourself in a very unfamiliar place in a very unpleasant environment, and you can feel very isolated there. And so for folks that realize that call could come, it's very, very challenging. But I will tell you, I believe it presents an opportunity. Sometimes people ask me the question, you know, how do I relate to a vet? You know, I see that guy in the Vietnam ball cap or, you know, this ship or Desert Storm or whatever it might be. How do I relate to them? And they sometimes think, well, maybe I have to try to relate to the military side of things. And I would tell you that most people, if you haven't been in the military, can't. And that credibility won't last very long anyway. But what you can help them identify with is the idea of belonging. Because that's what the military is all about. It's force-fed when you begin. You're force-fed to become part of a team. There's no more I. And you go through basic training or whatever you're going to do. And when you get done, the idea is that you're part of something bigger than yourself. And you're going to be asked to make sacrifices on behalf of the big whatever it is, the Army, the Air Force, but also potentially on behalf of some of those people near you. So they're used to that mindset of being united by something. And they lose that when they leave the military. It's a very difficult transition for some people because of it. And I don't know of any place that even comes close to that like a church like this does. Because unlike the military, where we're competing with each other to get promoted, maybe not outwardly, but it is a competitive system, or to get the best job or the best assignment or whatever. Here in the church, we're about unity around Jesus Christ. Amen. And when you can help people like that understand that there's a place they can come and be a part of something that's bigger than them, it can be a drawing card. It can be a way to introduce yourself in a ministry like this to somebody that you think, you know, what do we have in common? Mm. Yeah.
So is most of your time spent with active personnel or veterans? How would you describe the balance of your ministry?
Probably the bulk of our ministry is oriented towards the active component folks and their families. That's a big deal for me personally, because we were overseas with our family and our church was involved with our family. And I'm personally con- I personally believe that God used, you saw a picture in our video, it went by too fast, but called Yongsan Baptist Church. It's outside a base in Seoul, Korea. My oldest son was a junior and senior in high school. He got there. It was a small military work. He ended up being the pianist. But we were out every weekend trying to share God's good news with folks. And it was a very focused ministry, a very tight ministry. And I believe God used that powerfully to burden his heart for that part of the world. And it was a military church outside of a military base.
I imagine with the family, too, like we have friends that just, their daughters are 10, 9, that somewhere around there, and they just packed up and moved to Japan.
Sure.
So there have to be really unique needs for those children as well.
There are. We homeschooled our children the whole time, so that part of it was a little bit easier for us than it is for some. Interestingly, and I have six, we call them Army brats, that's the term of endearment they give to the dependents. The kids take it all well. I was in the Army. There are different responses to that. I think we as parents can influence that some. Michelle was very, very creative with the opportunities we had as we moved quite frequently. 13 times while I was in the military. I'm not always with a family because I serve some by myself. But I think that they can be quick to make associations for that reason. Another opportunity, if I might say it. I realize there's no active bases here, but you may have guard folks that come in. They come in this area and they're associated with the National Guard, and it's a new family that way. They're used to the idea that I've got to find new people to be associated with because, we're here for 3 years or 2 years or whatever. And so while that it can be a challenge, there's a bit of a safety net with the military. They have programs and stuff to help a little bit. But for us, the comment I made in our video was that our church became our home away from home, our family. I mean, it was real. If I can say this, and I mean this sincerely, the churches that we are in, having grown up in this part of the country, and that we're in as we get a chance to come up to New England and northern New England, they tend to be smaller churches oftentimes, but they tend to be very tight. That's kind of what a military church is like. And so, again, that's where I think it's so very important. The military member themselves can get very mission focused, and that can drive your tension, your time, your energy. The family can kind of be left on the periphery. And it's why my burden especially is for overseas overseas needs near bases. And it's why it's local church based. You can have a servicemen center. They're helpful. They really are. But they tend to minister to single soldiers or sailors, or male or female. And it's got a spiritual component to it. And it's a ministry of a local church. But the goal is always to steer them back to that local church. I mean, that's God's pattern and plan, not ours. And it works very, very well no matter where you are in the world.
So what is the state? I mean, we have, I should know, but I mean, we have armed forces all over the world.
Sure, sure.
So how would you describe the state of, and I know there's all kinds of denominational influences, et cetera,
sure,
but let's just
sure.
say, gospel-centered, some kind of biblical church for them to go to. How would you describe the condition?
I just stepped in the position in April, and we just started to do an assessment. They hadn't done anything like that in the past. We are not the only agency, missions agency, BIMI, which may be a common name to some or all, also has a military ministry outreach worldwide as well. And so if you go to places we've been for a long time, Okinawa, Germany, South Korea, there now tend to be more commonly even independent Baptist ministries outside. Wasn't that way when I was in Korea the first time. I spent 18 months there with no church, nothing. The military does a great job with training, equipping, medical care, a lot of those things. They really do a great job with that. But caring for their souls is a real issue. And they attack that, or they that's probably a bad word, but they attempt to do that with the chaplaincy. But the chaplaincy comes in all different flavors and colors. And so I have been, my first exposure to a chaplain lady, she smoked cigars, drank more beer in Germany, and cussed more than many of the military folks in the unit. And she was the spiritual advisor to the commander and that the soldiers would go to. We were in a unit where we had a female rabbi as our chaplain. Pretty tough to identify with most people.
Yeah,
and so they're out there, and so you can have a Mormon chaplain, you can have a Baptist chaplain. In my 26 years, I met and served with one.
Mm. Yeah, my friend who is a Navy chaplain he describes the need as pretty dire. I mean, far as the even in the chaplaincy, there's a real shortage of chaplains in general, regardless if they're biblical.
Sure.
Does anybody else have a question? I won't hog all the questions. Anybody wondering something about the ministry or the opportunity? Anybody out there?
We hear a lot about suicide.
Yeah. Sure. Opinion, but I think for most, many, that they feel a sense of isolation in a profession where they should feel a sense of community. It can come for a lot of different reasons. It can become just because they're different and they don't fit in that way. It can be because of some experiences they've had that have affected them, and they don't know how to respond to that. And the military offers assistance, but it's the world's approach to solving a problem that's got a spiritual component to it. I think the VA has pulled, military medical system and the VA have started to pull back a little bit from medicating or over-medicating, in my opinion. We like to label things. Our society likes to label things. We like to put the disorder name on a lot of things. And sometimes people, that's a weight for them that they figure they can't ever get rid of. I'm always going to be X. And so sometimes that can cause them to kind of head down a darker and darker trail when they can't find the answers or the solutions that they're looking for. The military tries very hard to teach people how to look for the signs. There are supposed to be opportunities for accountability to help with some of that. But just like you see in society that you work and live in, I mean, people are so self-absorbed. And they've got that little 3x5 screen or whatever it is, and they can just notice nothing and think they're noticing everything. And so I think even with their efforts to try to challenge people to be aware, and especially the more junior leaders, because they're the closest to these folks, there are a lot of distractions out there. And I think sometimes we aren't succeeding as much. The military is not succeeding as much at that as they want to. At least that's the message that I seem to hear as I try to read between the lines of some of the senior leaders are saying from some of the different services and the concerns that they're dealing with. I don't know if that helped at all. It might not have. Feel free to follow up.
Genesis and then the end of Revelation. A lot of young people don't know.
Yeah. I doubt it.
Right. Yeah, so, sure. So if I could interject, that's so important. So what are the, I guess we'll wrap it up with this question and then go to the few minutes of the Bible study. So what are the key doors and opportunities to do exactly what was just mentioned? So what are your biggest open doors right now?
The elephant in the room, COVID, has affected the military just like it has everybody else. And unlike here, where, you know, local leaders and state leaders and national leaders can impose certain requirements and people can maybe sometimes choose to comply or not, the military is a compliance-based organization. And so they can lock things down pretty tight. And it's not to, because they don't trust folks, it has a readiness impact that is different than outside those gates. But one of the more effective ways, especially to reach young people who are just coming into the military, is through Bible study, evangelistic Bible study, and getting on the base where they're in their training. Because for them, I mean, this is all brand new anyway. Away from home for the first time, you know, getting bombarded with all this stuff. And interestingly, one way to get out from underneath the drill sergeant for a few hours on Sunday is to go to church or something like that. That's a wonderful opportunity for folks at that level, and probably one of the more effective ways, in my opinion. And so we have people up at Great Lakes, which is a Navy training area. We've got folks in Georgia near one of the Army bases there, and other folks are near some of the other bases as well. That is, as you think of the military, pray for good relationships, because although we have wonderful news, God's good news, some chaplains don't view it that way. And once we go inside the gate, we have to work with the authorities that are there. And so we always pray for favorable relationships with chaplains. And there are some good chaplains out there. I gave some examples, but there are some good ones. I spoke at a conference this summer as a guy who was a commander in the military of folks to these chaplains, and talked about what I expected from my chaplain and what commanders should be able to expect from chaplains. And these were all independent, fundamental Baptist chaplains. There were about 65 of them. They weren't all of them, but they were some. And so there are some men out there who are answering that call and going, and those aren't the only ones for sure. So that resource does exist, but really it's a matter of, you know, the military mindset is used to the idea that it's that way or it's that way. Now, you may say, well, that was the commander's way, or that was the first sergeant's way, or it's the army way, or whatever. So when you tell them that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me, well, they can kind of understand that it is possible that there are there are restrictive ways to do things. They're used to that in missions, and I believe they can understand that from a spiritual perspective as well. And so just understanding their mentality sometimes and the training and the mindset that they have can be a way to get an open door to them. But just being willing to share with them is so important. Don't be afraid to walk up to them and hand them a tract or try to engage them in a conversation. And if the Lord will allow you, you invite them to church and let them come here. Like I said, the identity with something like a church like this is so powerful. That's what the most important decision we made, I think Michelle alluded to it in the video, was where are we going to go to church? It wasn't what am I going to do at my job and, you know, where are we going to live? We'll find a place to live. Where are we going to go to church? Because we knew we needed it, and we knew we had to get in and get involved. The military, they're only there for a short time, wherever there is. And so don't be afraid to get them involved if they're here. And realize that in doing so, you're also there's a short shelf life on that. So how much time should I plan for? 15 or 20 minutes. Okay, well, I'll encapsulate this in a 15 or 20 minutes. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to Psalm chapter 40? You know, there's so many lessons on the new trail that God has us on. Deputation, some, visiting Bible colleges, like the video said, visiting our missionaries and trying to be a blessing to them, being in new churches like yours. One of the lessons is highlighted here in this psalm, and that is the lesson of trust. You know, here I have been, I've known the Lord for a long time, since I was in college. I've been through a lot of experiences in life, maybe like you have, and yet I still find myself now going through new experiences that I'm being challenged in this matter of trust. Trusting God for what it means to be even a missionary. Trusting God for wisdom, what we have to do. Trusting God for safety. We've driven about 6,000 miles in the last 2.5 months. That usually takes me about a year, what I was doing before this. That's new territory for us. And yet God is faithful and He's taking care of us. Our health. You know, you always think about that some, but now we have to be a little bit more careful as we bounce around from place to place, state to state. And so we're trying to be smart about that. And trusting God that He'll keep us healthy so we can serve. God providing for us. You know, I worked in the military for 26 years, another 14 years with the military. Those paychecks came every 2 weeks or every month. God's teaching us some new things about how He provides through all sorts of means. And I won't take your time to share it, but it's amazing. God can be trusted. And so this psalm, I'm going to read the first 5 verses. I'm just going to home in on kind of the latter part of what was on my heart for tonight. It says, beginning in verse number 1 of Psalm chapter 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are Thy wonderful works which Thou hast done, and Thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto Thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. For a few moments, I'd just like us to think on the thought of the impact of trust. Would you join me as we just ask God to bless our time in His Word? Father, thank You for the privilege of being gathered together in Your name. I thank You for this ministry, this church, these people, Lord, for their desire to know You better, to serve You. God, would You help our time now and Your Word to be profitable? I pray Your Spirit would direct my thoughts, my words. I pray Your Spirit would help each of us, Lord, to appreciate all the more the truth that we're going to look at tonight. And Lord, I pray that it might, in fact, impact our lives, that we might trust You as we ought. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, the first couple of verses, I believe God is drawing our attention, the psalmist is drawing our attention to the idea of what is the object of our trust. You know, people trust in a lot of different things. I don't know what you grew up hearing. I grew up, like I said, in an unsaved home in the video there. So I grew up hearing things like trust your instincts, you know, trust your abilities. You know, you hear more of that as things go on. Different kind of worldly philosophies. When I was in the military, it's trust your training, trust your equipment. And I'm not suggesting that some of those things could not prove to be reliable and available to you in a time of need. But if we're not careful, we find ourselves putting our trust in something that could let us down. I flew helicopters for a long time. I can tell you, we didn't land all of them back at the field like we were supposed to. Sometimes things broke. One time it was a little worse than that. It was good equipment. Got back in, cranked it up, and flew again. But there is more to trust than the things that we can see, the things that we can touch, the philosophies that we can embrace. The world around us, that's all they have. That's all they know. It's why, as we talked about, the suicide rate in the military is so high. because the things they were trusting in have let them down and they aren't quite sure to go. But the psalmist here reminds us who he was trusting in, who he was waiting upon. I love that this psalm starts with the personal pronoun I, because it starts with action that we take. Choosing to wait patiently for what? For the Lord. For the Lord. That's who we're supposed to be waiting for. You know, that sense of expectation, looking forward to something. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you were really in a difficult circumstance and you weren't sure where to turn. You weren't sure what you could trust. We start teaching trust at the youngest age. If you have children, I have grandchildren, you start teaching them what? Jump, I'll catch you. First it was dad will catch you, now it's grandpa will catch you. Or if you've got one that's learning how to ride a bike, you take those training wheels off for the first time and you take them out there and you say, okay, I'm going to stay beside you, but you're ready. I'm going to let go, but I promise you, I'll be right here. And you know, they're the wobbly, you know, don't let go, all that kind of stuff. We're trying to teach them the idea of trust. God is one that we can always trust in. The psalmist reminds us here in the first verse that God is inclined to us. The idea literally means the idea of bending over. And that's not to suggest that God has to bend over to pay attention to us. God has to bend over to hear us. It is to communicate to us the intimacy with which God pays attention to you and to you and to me. He hears me. He inclines himself to me. And I love in verse number 2, you know, just kind of some the reason why we can trust God. We can trust him because of what he's done. It says there that he brought us up out of a horrible pit. Now, I've never been in what would, I guess, could be described as a horrible pit. But the idea there is the idea of a place of great commotion, a place of great noise, literally, is what that refers to. The idea of almost like rushing waters or even of men at war. Is what that horrible idea is related to. And some people spend their life living there. This time of year is a time of year when that kind of comes to the surface sometimes. Because they look around and they see all this happiness, they see all this supposed joy, and they feel like they're left out. And they're in this horrible pit. And perhaps there are times when we feel like, there's so much going around. I can't deal with this. There's so much happening in my life. Maybe it's health related. Maybe it's job related. Maybe it's relationship related. And yet, what does God do in the midst of all that? It says that he puts our feet upon a rock. He doesn't just deliver us out of all that noise, out of all that uncertainty. He actually places us on something firm. I love that. Because sometimes that's what the world can only offer the first half. They'll say, well, we can help you with that. Take one of these, or take two, or try this new program, this new idea, read this book. It'll help you deal with that. But it oftentimes doesn't give you something that you can put your feet on that's solid. Only God can do that for us. So the idea of trust is a fundamental part of our lives. It really is. I mean, think about it. If you have a medical condition and you go to the doctor, you want to trust that he or she is going to give you good medical advice, right? And yet even sometimes, don't we seek a second opinion? Because we want to be sure, even with all that expertise, all that training. We moved a lot. One of the first people that I would seek out when I moved was a mechanic. I wanted a mechanic I could trust because I didn't have a checkbook with lots of extra zeros at the end of the balance. And I didn't need somebody when I walked in to get an oil change telling me I needed a new transmission and new shocks and everything else. Trust is fundamental. We want it. Hopefully we are trusting. Hopefully we're trusting in God. But how do you know? How do you know if you're trusting in God? Does Scripture give us any insight? I believe this psalm does, and that's what I want to spend the last few minutes taking a look at. Because, you know, we read in James about the idea of looking into the Scripture like a mirror, a glass. And when we look into it, we see ourselves as we really are. And we're challenged there not to walk away from it and forget what we've seen. I believe verses 3 to 5 offer us that glass, that looking glass that can help us understand, do I really trust God? Because that's what we're challenged to do in verses 1 and 2. How do I know? Am I really trusting God? What is the evidence that I might be trusting God? So look with me at 3, I believe. The first is found in verse number 3. Verse number 3, where it says, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." The first evidence, I believe, is a changed heart. A changed heart. It says he's put a new song in his mouth, even praise unto our God. You know, you can fake a lot of things. And we as Christians, and I raise my hand, I've done it more than once, walk in there, smile on my face, everything's good to go. And, you know, a few minutes ago in the car, things weren't so good, you know, with the little ones in the back seat. But you can't fake praise to God. You can't. You know, when we had the music at the beginning, you know whether or not you're singing. You know whether or not you're even thinking about what you're singing. I don't know if you're like me. Maybe you've caught yourself a time or two singing a song and realizing I'm not even paying any attention to what we're saying. I've sung this too much. If I want it to be praised like it ought to be, I need to think about what I'm saying. And so, with the child that's trusting in God, the praise is able to come automatically. It is able to be more likely to be there. Why? Because who are you thinking about? Who are you focused on when your trust is in God? Is it in you? Is it in your equipment? Is it in your circumstances? Is it in your bank book? No, it's in God. You're thinking on God continually. And when you think on Him, it's going to change the message that's in your heart and the message that's in your mouth. And I love the fact that it says that others are going to notice. I don't know if you've ever had anybody comment to you about, you know, what's up with you? Why do you always, and it's a good always, and you have an opportunity to share something with them about your faith, about your God. Other people can recognize real praise, a real new song in our heart, one that is definitely different. I love, from time to time, we have a couple of books at home that are the backstory behind some of these hymns, and perhaps you've heard some of them from the pulpit here, or you're familiar with some of them yourself, but it is fascinating to me sometimes to read the circumstances under which God stirred the heart of a man or a woman to write the words like "It's Well With My Soul," Horatio Spafford, and all that he went through with the Chicago Fire and then his daughters. I mean, it's amazing to me. Why? Because God, that's a man who was trusting God for what happened in his circumstance, and now it's coming out of him because it's the new song that's in his heart. So there'll be, I believe, one evidence to look for is a changed heart, and one way you'll see that is by what's coming out of our mouths. The second thing I think we find is in verse number 4, and that's changed habits. It says, "Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies." Well, we all have habits, right? Some good, maybe some not so good. I have one that I wish I could get rid of, but I haven't succeeded in it yet. I grew up in Maine, and my dad had to drive quite a distance to work in the morning, and we had to go to school early in the morning. And I remember a lot of days getting up at about 5 o'clock in the morning, and my brother and I heading outside with snow shovels and getting after it so my dad could go to work that day. And then I went in the Army, and I don't recall them saying, "Sleep as late as you like, you know, relax, enjoy yourself." And so here I am, not anywhere near as young as I used to be, and I still wake up early in the morning. And I think, man, I wish I could break this habit. I'd love to sleep in, but I can't do it. It really ruins me sometimes when I'm someplace and I ought to sleep till 8 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, well, it's one I'd like to get rid of, I assure you. Some days. What should the habits be of a Christian who's trusting in God? I think he helps us to see something that we should be turning to and something we should turn away from. The turning to is what we've alluded to already, and that is that we make the Lord our trust. We consciously decide. We decided that yesterday. We decided that today. We decided that during circumstance X of today. We make him our trust. We turn to that habit. That's what we choose to do. And anytime you're choosing to turn to the Lord and something he's doing, there's almost always some kind of baggage that you've got to get rid of. You know, Ephesians chapter 4 talks about the putting off and the putting on. Same kind of idea here. Making the Lord our trust. And then he talks in the end about not being around those or respecting the proud and those that turn aside to lies. And that should be obvious, but it's necessary to remind ourselves. It can be easy, especially in the world that we live in today, where inputs are coming in so many different directions, and some of it's quite subtle, some of it's not very subtle at all, that is filling us with these things that are prideful, certainly these things that are lies according to Scripture. And if we aren't careful, we'll take a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And God says you have to put the psalmist reminds we have to put those things aside if we're going to trust in the Lord. And that's going to be what we put on. This is what we have to put off. And I love the fact that it starts with the fact, what happens to the man that does that? Does he just feel better? Life's going to be good. It says, blessed is the man that chooses to do those things. Anybody here who doesn't want to be blessed in their life, in their Christian life? We all want to be blessed. We all want to feel God's blessing, experience God's blessing. And God will allow us to do that. The last is found in verse number five. Not only does God cause us to have a changed heart when we're trusting in him, and I believe to have changed habits where we're turning to him and turning away from some things that we may have embraced before, but the last thing I believe we have is a changed message. A changed message. It says, many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee, if I would declare and speak of them. They are more than can be numbered. When you trust in anything, you usually pay attention to whatever it is. And when we trust in God, he has our attention. We notice what's going on. I'm noticing a lot more how frequently we safely get from one place to the next. How frequently we even find the place we're going to. Never been to North Adams before. Praise the Lord. I had to trust my phone, and my phone brought us to the right place the first time. It didn't work so well in New Jersey this weekend, but it worked really good today. So, but God is doing so many things in our daily lives that we often just look right past. We forget that he is the one that's taking care of us. And when we are trusting in him, when our attention is continually turning back to God, whatever's going on in our day, whether it's the toughest day we've had in a month or the most blessed day we've had in a month, when our trust stays in him all the way along the way, it's going to change the words. It's going to change our thoughts. It's going to cause us to declare what God is doing. It isn't just going to be praise the Lord. It's going to be, I praise the Lord for. I don't know if your church ever has just testimony times. We do in ours. And, you know, it ought to be clamoring for the microphone or whatever it is. There ought to be something on our lips every day that we can offer praise to about what God is doing. The wonderful works that he is doing in my life. The thoughts that he has to me, to me and to you. I mean, I get to get up in the morning, I get during the day to pray for very, very specific things. And God's inclined to me, as we read in verse number 1. His thoughts are to me. And as he accomplishes his will, he reminds me, I care about you. I am hearing you. It's a wonderful, wonderful blessing, a wonderful thing that we get to trust God. And yet, as we do that, God showers on our life so much richness. Although not mentioned here in this particular passage, a passage that I find to be a blessing, and another benefit of trust that ought to be a part of our lives is found in Isaiah chapter 26 in verse number 3, where it says, "For thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee." You know, the word trust, or trusteth, or trusting, is found 54 times in the Psalms. A reminder to me, and David, I mean, just think, is one who God used to author a number of these. He knew what it was to go through some pretty bumpy times. And he also knew what it was to experience some great failings in his life and some great difficulties in his life. He also knew what it was to experience some great blessings in his life. And reminded over and over and over again, trust God. Trust God. You and I, we're going to trust something. Tomorrow, things are going to come up. We're going to trust something. God help us that he might always be the first place. And with his help, the only place we feel that we need to turn with our trust. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that we can know you. Thank you because we know you, we can trust you. You are a trustworthy God, a personal, loving, perfect Father. God, would you help us to grow in our trust? Lord, help us because of our trust to have the evidences we saw tonight. Lord, evidence of a song in our heart, habits that cause us to turn to you continually and away from things that would be a distraction. And then, Lord, have on our lips a message that would speak of our great God and what he's doing. Father, we thank you for your love for us, for how you show it continually. Lord, would you show your face, shine your face brightly on this work? Would you cause their light to have a great impact, the light of your gospel in this area of North Adams and beyond. And Lord, minister your truth in and through our lives, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I think one of the things that you reminded me of is that when we talked about it at the beginning, that we come to faith in Christ, it's simply trusting him. But we're really quick to get away from that and start, well, I got saved by faith and now I'm going to live on my own and do all these things. But we follow the Lord by faith every step of the way. Well, thank you so much. It was just refreshing to have you with us tonight. I feel like the Lord used you to encourage us, and just a wonderful message and a wonderful opportunity to get to know you a little better. Well, let's just pray together once more, and then we'll be dismissed tonight. Lord, we do love you and thank you for the simple truths from your word. Lord, we thank you, not just that we should trust you, but that we can trust you, yeah. That we can trust you completely, yeah. That you are sovereign, you are in control of all things, and that your will for us is only good. And so we give you thanks for that. Help us to have your praise on our lips. Help us, Lord, and as we go out into our workplaces and schools, Lord, I pray that people would see the joy of the Lord, and what a real joy and a real just praise for who you are, that we would live that out. We just pray for your blessing on the Browns. We pray that you'd bless their ministry. We pray also for your blessing on our church, that you'd meet each need. So please dismiss us in your love and care. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
We are so glad that you've taken the time to join us today. If you've been blessed by the message,
If you have placed your faith in Jesus today, we want to hear from you. Maybe you still have questions about what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Please let us know, and we would love to answer those questions from the Bible. We would also be happy to provide you with the Bible and other free Christian resources to help you grow in your faith. You can email us at info@mountgreylockbaptist.com or send us a message on Facebook. You could also call us at 413-662-2107. We would love to hear from you, and our desire is to be a blessing to you in any way that we can. God bless.